Well, with all that we have to think about in life, there's the addition of the flu this time of year. 'Tis the season. And I thought it would be smart to take a few moments and understand the flu a little bit better. And for that, we're going to speak with Dr. Mark Drapkin, who is Assistant Chief of Infectious Diseases at Newton Wellesley Hospital. Dr. Drapkin, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, George.
Let's get started, if it's okay, by dumbing it down a little bit, which is my comfort zone, and talk a little bit about what the flu is. Now, I know flu is short for influenza virus, and if you wouldn't mind talking a little bit about what it means to be a virus and what the flu specifically is, please.
Sure. Most of the coughing and sneezing and runny nose illnesses that we experience are viral. That is, they're caused by these things called viruses, which are the simplest form of life on Earth. Very sneaky but tiny particles. They don't live on their own. They need to live within cells of other living things. So the main way you get flu is from another person directly who has the flu. And the flu virus is, as opposed to many of the other cold viruses, viruses that cause the common cold, has the potential for being much more serious. Usually, infection with the flu virus usually results in high fever, severe body aches, you feel like you're going to die, and it lasts usually between 5 and 10 or even more days, and it can cause you to die. And so it's not a trivial cold virus. So it's a respiratory virus, but a very one that has potential for serious consequences.
And there isn't, my understanding is it's not, there isn't just one strain of flu virus, and that's kind of why it's a little elusive sometimes. Is that correct? It's constantly changing?
Yes, it is. Every year there are major or minor changes that can occur. This year's virus array seems to be very similar to that of last year so far, but there can be years in which there are huge shifts in the kind of virus, and those can be very, very severe flu years because the people who are getting it have not seen it or anything like it before. So, and there, in any given year, there tend to be three or four strains which are circulating simultaneously. And the vaccine has in it either three or four strains. And sometimes they're a good match, and sometimes they're not such a good match. And there can be other problems with the flu shot. But indeed, it's the changing of the virus that creates a bit of a moving target.
We're speaking with Dr. Mark Drapkin, who is Assistant Chief of Infectious Diseases at Newton Wellesley Hospital. I want to ask you, because everybody keeps talks about flu season. How far into flu season are we, and what? How do you know when you're in flu season?
Well, the flu season starts sometime in the fall in general, usually September, October, but it gets into larger numbers of cases by December. This year, it started pretty early. We started seeing an uptick early in December. And usually it peaks around February or March and then tapers off over a period of months thereafter. In the last few years, the season has been expanding. So it still starts, let's say, October, November, December, gets into the peak, as I mentioned, in early spring. But we've been seeing cases, it's nationally, cases have been occurring as late as May, June, and even into July in the last few years. So the flu season is getting a little less seasonal than it used to be.
Yeah. Why is it that we don't see it on in the warmer months?
I wish I knew.
the age-old question.
Yeah. Well,
is it just a cyclical thing? Is it just?
It is. It is. Know? Yeah. It is. First of all, in climates like ours, we tend to spend more time indoors and in close proximity to human beings.
Right.
So you kind of jam together, huddling away from the cold outside. But and indeed, in the southern hemisphere, if we were talking in Australia, the flu season is pretty much finished there, and their summer is our winter. So down south, in the southern hemisphere, their flu season is 6 months off from our flu season. And then what happens is, as you get close to the equator, and summer and winter kind of merge, it's warm all the time, they have flu all year round.
Hmm.
So there's always flu present in one part of the world or another, or several parts of the world. And that probably may account for some of the expansion of the flu season in recent years and decades because of all the international travel that goes on. So we do see here at Newton Wellesley Hospital an occasional person who comes in the summer, and by golly, he or she has the flu.
Yeah, huh.
And you learn, oh, well, that's not such a surprise because she just came back from Australia.
Right. Dr. Mark Drapkin is Assistant Chief of Infectious Diseases at Newton Wellesley Hospital. Let's talk a little bit more about why it's important to protect yourself from the flu. First of all, like you said, it's good to stay alive and potentially, you know, it can be fatal. Who's more susceptible to the effects of the flu?
Well, anybody can get the flu, but the people who are particularly ill with it and subject to dying tend to be, as you might imagine, those people who have underlying serious illnesses.
Right.
People who are very old, like me, over the age of 65, and people who are very young in the first several years of life, especially those babies less than 6 months of age, because they're intrinsically bit more affected by the virus, and also you can't immunize little babies.
Yeah.
Other groups of individuals, for example, pregnant women are at higher risk for serious flu than young women who are not pregnant. But basically anybody, healthy young adults, can come down with the flu and even have a fatality due to it.
Dr. Mark Drapkin is Assistant Chief of Infectious Diseases at Newton Wellesley Hospital. Let's talk about the flu shots. And you mentioned before that the strains are constantly changing in the flu shot. Explain a little bit about, it's kind of, there's a little bit of guesswork going on, isn't there, when the flu shot, the formula for the flu shot comes about every year.
Right. What happens is, folks at the CDC and at the National Institutes of Health and the World Health Organization get together early each year and try to predict what kind of flu is going to be circulating that fall and winter. And usually they get it pretty correctly.
Yep.
They look at what's been going on in the other hemispheres. So if you're living up here, they look at what happened last year or last flu season in Australia. They look at what's been circulating around the equator. And usually they get it pretty good. They make a pretty good estimate of what's going to be circulating. And then they choose three or four of those strains and create the new flu shot from those strains of virus. So when you get a flu shot in the fall or in the winter, the one shot that you get contains either three or four different strains of virus. Usually the guess is pretty good, but the flu shot's not perfect, even if the strain matches that which is circulating, and you can still get infected, especially with the more severe strain. This year it's H3N2, it's called. H3N2. And the flu shot this year is only probably about 30% effective, which, you know, is not very good, but then again,
better than zero.
Better than zero. You took the words out of my mouth, George.
Sorry.
Didn't mean to interrupt. No, I appreciate it. That's exactly right, because if you don't get the flu shot, the shot is exactly zero effective. And plus, the shots usually are pretty good against the other two or three strains that are in there. So that you do get some protection, and it's better than none. And plus, if there's some evidence that if you've gotten the flu shot and you come down with the flu nonetheless, that the infection is likely to be less severe.
Yeah. You do hear stories about people saying, oh, well, the flu shot actually gives you the flu. That's not true, is it?
It is totally not true.
Okay, good.
And I can't tell you how many times I've repeated, you can't get the flu from the flu shot.
Yeah.
Now, what can happen is, suppose you go to the drugstore or to the doctor's office and you get a flu shot today, and then 2 days later you come down with the flu. Well, even if it is the flu, that was going to happen anyhow.
Right, yeah.
Because it takes 10, 14 days for the shot to kick in. So, you know, that's coincidence. But again, the shot isn't perfect, and maybe what you have is the flu, and maybe it's not the flu. But you cannot get the flu from the flu shot, because the virus in the flu shot is killed. It's dead.
Right.
What you're getting are pieces of the virus. There's no whole virus in there. So it can't come from the shot. It can come from the person sitting at the desk next to you, but not from the flu shot.
We're speaking with Dr. Mark Drapkin, who is Assistant Chief of Infectious Diseases at Newton Wellesley Hospital, and we're talking about the flu. What else can you do to keep the spread of the flu down or to keep yourself from getting the flu, apart from keeping a quart bottle of Purell handy?
Well, that's one of the things. I mean, common sense and stuff. Washing your hands. If you're ill, certainly wash your hands frequently so you don't give the virus to others by touching things that the other person might touch. And also, before you eat, wash your hands. When you go to the bathroom, wash your hands, etc. The other thing is basically to engage in what we call good cough etiquette, and don't cough in people's faces.
Yeah.
You know, cough into your sleeve, or into a handkerchief, and just, you know, don't spew your germs out all over the place. I don't know if you've seen these pictures, George, of sort of what it looks like when a person coughs or sneezes and you see droplets emanating from they're pretty scary. You know, it's like you're creating this mist of potentially infectious material. And I kind of have that picture in mind. We have a big copy of that picture in the hallway as one enters our hospital, trying to bring home the message that you don't want to be the source of great disease and pestilence in your vicinity.
Everybody can do their little part to keep it from spreading.
Would that were the case.
Yeah. Dr. Mark Drapkin is Assistant Chief of Infectious Diseases at Newton Wellesley Hospital. Boy, great information. If you don't mind, I'm guessing on the Newton Wellesley site, and I didn't go on before we started talking, but I know in the past you guys have had great information on there. Would you mind maybe just giving the Newton Wellesley website if people want to find out more?
Sure. It's www.nwh.org, and there's good information there. And I would suggest that your listeners also consider going to the most recent sources of information and just Google. Am I allowed to say that? Google?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
So. I think it's pretty much a verb at this point. So.
That's right. That's right. It's a small g.
Yeah.
Listeners, it's a small g. So no endorsement implied.
Right.
But just Google CDC flu and you'll come up with good information. In fact, I'm sitting with a computer screen in front of me right now, and I just did that before we started talking. And,
yeah.
and it tells me what's happening with the flu nationally, and then drilling down to different parts of the country, how many children have died so far this year, which happens to be 30, and 10 of those were in the last week.
Oh boy.
These are children dying of flu. It tells you what the hospitalization rates have been, et cetera. So cdc.gov, and just put that with flu, and you go right in there. And the other site is the Massachusetts Department of Public Health. We really have a wonderful state health department, and there's a bevy of information about what's going on locally here with some very stark graphs, actually, this year that show how much flu is going around, which is a lot.
I'll give those resources again so people know. If you're the Newton Wellesley website, very easy to find at nwh.org.
Right.
And as Dr. Drapkin mentioned, you can also Google CDC flu for a lot of information on there and get local information as well through the Massachusetts Department of Public Health. Dr. Mark Drapkin is Assistant Chief of Infectious Diseases at Newton Wellesley Hospital. Thank you so much. With the flu, as in with many things, knowledge is power. And as we were talking about, this is not something to be taken lightly. So it's good to be informed on this. And I very much appreciate you coming on. Thank you, Dr. Drapkin.
My pleasure. And everybody get your flu shots.